I tell you what, I don't think I could have written a song that had been more perfect for the message today. The resurrected King. The victory we have through the resurrection. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we thank and we praise you this day. Lord, as we gather together this morning as the body of Christ, trying to make sense, frankly, of a topic that we really don't understand, the resurrection. So, Lord, as we gather together today, please open up our hearts and our minds to your word and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, good morning and welcome, and a special welcome to all my friends online. I want to give a special shout out to Verna and a few of the other folks I visited last week, and it was just such a pleasure to meet some of those folks that are home each week, and perhaps it's a little difficult for them to get here. So we're certainly keeping you all in prayer. And if you are a guest or a visitor with us this morning, where's Kathy and Bob? There they are from Florida. Welcome. Good to see you guys. Yeah.
Welcome back.
See, gone but not forgotten. A special welcome to all of you as we gather together today. You know, in your thinking resurrection, you're probably thinking about what we just heard in the song about the resurrection of Jesus, right? But when you heard the readings that Jeff read, you're going, okay, what's going on? Well, we're going to dig into that shortly. But if you haven't been with us or if you're just tuning in, we're in week 5 of a sermon series called The Great I Am. And we're unpacking these statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, this I am. Week 1, if you remember, I am the bread of life, Jesus said. He is the one who nourishes us through his word and through his sacraments. And week 2, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light that shows us a way because we are in the darkness of sin. In week 3, we looked at the one that we don't know that much about, Jesus, I am the door, where we learn that Jesus is the only way to the Father and to our eternal life. Last week we heard about I am the good shepherd, how Jesus offers us guidance and protection. Today, Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. But before we dig into this, I want to ask you guys a question. Now, this is usually where I'm going to probably lose somebody, I'm thinking, but how many of you are familiar with the concept of theory and practice? Oh, I'm sorry. Theory and practice. Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you are familiar? Wow, that's a pretty smart crowd. Well, theory and practice, how about Yogi Berra? You gotta love Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra gives an explanation on what theory and practice is. Again, you gotta turn it on. There you go. Yogi Berra says, in theory and practice are the same, but in practice, they are not. Gotta love Yogi Berra, right? I just love the guy. Well, let me just kind of give you a little bit deeper understanding. Theory, basically, it's a proposed explanation of a relationship between two or more ideas, or maybe an understanding on how or why they occur. Now, practice, this is where the rubber hits the road here, practice refers to the actual observation of the original idea or the theory. Okay? So, clear as mud, right? Okay. Basically, as these concepts relate to our faith life and even in our personal life, you can learn all of the technical skills you want. You can learn all the theories that you want. I mean, you can understand them to the very core. But what's the point if you don't know what to do with them, right? Okay. I want to look at our readings in light of this theory and practice concept. We're going to be in John chapter 11. So if you brought your Bibles this morning, please open up to John chapter 11. We're going to pick it up at verse 17. If you got the Pew Bible, it's page 1142. Those of you at home, I know they're right there at your kitchen table for you. But in our readings today, we see a strong case for theory and practice just come alive right in front of us. And we'll pick this up in verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, he'll give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again, the resurrection of the last day." Then Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Yet shall he, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, I know there's a lot right there, so let's kind of take a look at this. Let me start off by setting the stage for you a little bit here, because Jesus' dear friend Lazarus was critically ill. He was very sick. So his sisters, Martha and Mary, they knew that Jesus possessed this incredible healing ability and power, so they sent for him. If only they could get Jesus to get there, he could come and he could lay hands on their brother and Lazarus would be saved. If only Jesus could get there in time. So they send word to Jesus and they wait and they wait and they wait, but still no Jesus. And Lazarus is becoming sicker and sicker and sicker. And then finally, Lazarus takes his last breath. Now, as we pick this up in verse 17, if you're following along in your Bible, we see that it's been 4 days since the brothers, they shut the door of the tomb of Lazarus, their brother. And then all of a sudden, Jesus arrives. So each sister comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you would have only been here, remember, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have just got here, Jesus, my brother would still be alive." Well, theory and practice now comes into play here, because in theory, they know that Jesus has this ability to heal. It's these remarkable healing powers. But the full scope of his life-giving abilities remain hidden in the shadows of their own imagination. So Jesus tries to stretch Martha's belief here in verse 23 to get her to see him more fully when he says, "Your brother will rise again." See, he is teaching her in practice, but Martha can only really understand in theory. I'll explain what I mean here in a minute, because she responds in verse 24, "Yes, Lord, I know he'll rise again on the resurrection of the last day." Almost saying this to appease him. You know, that thing you have to say to the pastor when he asks you a question, you know? But what she doesn't know and what she doesn't see is that the power of the resurrection is standing right in front of her. Theory and practice. Friends, here's where it hits home for us in our lives. Yeah, because we get up on Sunday mornings, put on our nice clothes, and we come to church, and we hear a few sermons, and we open up our Bibles, and maybe even go to a Bible study. We've heard all the stories of Jesus since we were little children when we went to Sunday school. And still, our experience, our understanding of the resurrection for many of us is not that much different from Mary and Martha's. I mean, let's face it, on this side of death, resurrection isn't something that we have a lot of experience with, right? Yeah. We see it only in part, or only in theory, through the foggy lens of our faith. like Martha, our understanding of the resurrection is incomplete until, that is, we experience it. However, this morning we hear this story on this day, Jesus standing outside of the tomb of Lazarus, his dear friend. So Jesus wants to lift their understanding of the resurrection power. He also wants to lift our understanding of the resurrection power. He wants to take it from theory to practice. So, what does Jesus do? He says, come on, let's go. So he walks to the front of the tomb, and he orders the stone to be removed. Now, put yourself there for a second. Martha, and she doesn't sugarcoat this at all. Lord, are you sure you want to do this? Really? My brother's been dead for 4 days. If you open that door, if you take that stone away, the smell is going to be horrific. Let me hit the pause button here for a second. Because we have the luxury of knowing the whole story through the Holy Scriptures. We know here that there's a whole lot more to the story about Jesus' resurrection history than that particular day, don't we? Because prior to this, Jesus had raised other people from the dead. But the difference is, those people have only been dead a short time. How many of you remember the story in Mark chapter 5 when Jesus goes to the house of Jairus, where Jairus' daughter had just died when Jesus arrived? And remember, Jesus took the little girl by the hand and he commanded her to rise. And she did. Or how about in Luke chapter 7, the widow from Nain, her son had died. In fact, they were carrying him in his casket to the tomb when Jesus got there. He had probably only been dead a day or two. Because here's something you could maybe kind of help put this in perspective. Back then, they didn't have the embalming methods and the great things that we have today when someone passes away. So the burials came very quickly. In fact, Jesus was laid in the tomb just hours after his death. So here we see Jesus bend over and touch the casket and say, young man, get up. And he did. But just like today, there's skeptics, right? Many of the skeptics that look at Jairus' daughter or the widow's son, and they will say, you know, they were barely dead, if at all. Okay. Many of those who didn't believe in the power of Jesus would have said, these miracles are probably more like recoveries. Yeah, okay. But not so with Lazarus. As Martha said, he'd been dead long enough that the body had actually started to decompose. I want to share something with you here about this 3 days and 4 days thing, because this is really important to the story. In the Jewish belief, they believed that once you died, that your spirit would only stay with your body for 3 days. Then after the third day, your spirit would leave you and there is no longer any hope of recovery. So as we read on, and Jesus says out loud, remove the stone. He's telling the Father that he is going to do this so that these people will believe, so that these people will take this understanding from theory to practice. Jesus wants us to believe in the resurrection and the eternal life, that it only comes through him. Friends, Jesus called out Lazarus just as he calls out each and every one of us, much in the same way. Jesus calls us to step into a new life in him through the holy waters of baptism, where we lie dead in our sins. And as we rise out of those waters, we step into a new life in Christ. As a matter of fact, I love what St. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8, where he writes, but if Christ is in you. Although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And through our faith, Christ's resurrection, his resurrection life is already in us. All right, let me ask you a question before you doze off too long here. What do we celebrate on Easter? Good, yeah. Friends, we are Easter people because we have seen and we believe in the power of the resurrection. Even Jesus himself was dead, proven by that spear in the side. He was dead and he walked out of the grave. Amen. Because death no longer has a hold on him, and death no longer has a hold on us. Paul once again writes to the Romans, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. These are great words to hear. But to the song that you chose a minute ago, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, on that day, Lazarus stepped out of the tomb. His rising demonstrated in practice that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, I want to kind of bring this to a close by sharing something with you. Just this past week, last Saturday, I had the honor and the privilege to officiate a funeral right here in this very room for your dear sister and member, Sharon Watson. Many of you were here. And although we grieved Sharon's passing, her funeral was not completely marked by sadness. In fact, it was a day that was actually interlaced with joy because it held with it a promise of the resurrection. And on that day, the power of the resurrection was not just felt in theory, it was felt in practice. Knowing with certainty that our dear sister Sharon is in the presence of her Lord. Through her faith in Jesus, through our faith in Jesus, our eternal salvation, our eternal joy is a certainty. So friends, as we go forth from this place today, I have a prayer for each and every one of you here and each and every one of you online. And my prayer is that may the reality of the resurrection and eternal life through Jesus fill your mind, your body, and your soul and give you peace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the promise that through our faith in Jesus that we no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to cower in a corner wondering what is going to happen to us and our eternal soul. We know that it is a promise from you that, Lord, we will be with you. So, gracious Lord, we thank and we praise you for the promise of the resurrection of all flesh. And we thank you, Lord, for the comfort and the peace that it gives us, knowing that all of our friends who have been called home to glory are with you right now. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, friends, it is time now to